about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
We interrupt our normal program to cooperate in security and civil defense measures as requested by the United States government. This is a Conelrad radio alert. Normal broadcasting will now be discontinued for an indefinite period.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Hey, you know what I was thinking about the other day, fool? Dinosaurs. Crazy, right?
Yeah, when I talk to it, it says you have to speak in American English.
Yeah.
What other kind of English is there? Is there British?
Thanks for asking. I'm going to put this as delicately as I know how. You can chortle my balls.
Am I in hell? I deserve this.
Get ready. Time yourself on this one. You can go to the bathroom. You could take the dog for a walk, but bring your transistor radio with you.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Level test.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Let's do famous threesomes for 200, please.
It's tremendously big and tremendously wet.
Roll another one.
Rady and Durf.
Just like the other one.
Ugh, I'm a sweaty pot.
This one seems to be about.
I just realized I do not know this bitch.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Roger that. Hear you loud and clear.
Roll another one.
He's down on the phone.
Just like the other one.
Don't mess with my cheese, bro.
This one seems to be about spend.
Bonk, bonk.
And I don't have another cent.
You're living in a nightmare that starts at the crack of dawn.
Dude, time to hit the exercise machine.
Just pass it around.
Oh, no, you did not.
Vive la France.
Well, just pass it on down.
And now.
I'm just full of number ones. So it's better than being number two. Or going number two.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday, the 11th of Rocktober.
Hell yeah.
Right?
Very solid.
Hell yeah.
Felt good.
Mm-hmm.
Fires, you guys. They suck.
Yeah.
Fires in Southern California.
Not good.
The 118 has closed a lot of it. The 405 mm-hmm. is closed at the 118. There's a whole bunch of Sylmar's where it started.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are telling not to come to work.
Really?
Why did they tell us?
That's my question. I remember when I used to go to school in Arkansas. Don't ask. Long story.
Okay.
And there were snow days. And I was on the radio then. And so every single student would call and go, snow day, school closed.
every time.
Yeah. School closed, snow day. What about my school? How about my school? So we had to announce them like every 10 minutes. But at least in that case, it was a happy day because there's snow and you don't have to go to school and blah, blah, blah. But everybody that's told not to go to work now sort of sucks.
Yeah. There's a fire near your house isn't as exciting as there's snow on the ground.
Not even close.
I guess Santa Clarita is a nightmare also.
Yes, it is too. And there's anybody from Palmdale in that area is not going to be able to come into work because 14's closed in certain areas.
How are the winds at your house?
The winds at my house are fine.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not extreme, but they were saying they were over like 45 miles per hour overnight.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
man.
So that made the fire much worse.
Yeah.
So, and they are evacuating some people. And I'd just like to say, I know that sucks. But when the winds are moving this fast, you're not going to stop it with a hose.
Yeah. No. Just get out.
I tried that once.
What,
I lived in Chatsworth.
Yeah.
Chatsworth. And there was a fire that was sort of coming near my house. The winds weren't quite as bad, but I left work, went home, got my hose.
Mm-hmm.
And about 45 seconds... That's not code, by the way. And about 45 seconds later...
So quick, Kevin.
No, I was...
I mean,
not for me.
We're on the radio.
I was like, that was a marathon.
Record.
kind of amazing that you were able to do that with the fire going on. And I mean,
so stressed out.
Normally, I'd just be like so focused on just one thing.
Yeah. And then I could literally like see fire, and I realized I'm holding a tiny little hose. I mean, bigger than average, but a tiny little hose.
Small compared to other hoses.
What am I going to do here?
Yeah.
And it's just, I know the feeling of I don't want to leave my house because everything might go away.
My dad did the same thing.
Yeah.
And we pulled away in my mom's station wagon with my dog, my brother, and me, and saw my dad on the roof with the hose. And I was like, oh my God, my dad's going to die. This is awful. He didn't. So that's good.
Okay, good.
Yeah, but the fire.
He fell off the roof.
The fire department did come by and said, which isn't great, but they said, had you not watered down your roof, your house probably would have burned.
I don't think
and
that's
I'm like,
helping.
Don't tell my dad that. Don't tell people that because then they're going to do it. Yeah, bad situation.
I mean, it's a terrible
around.
Thing. Yeah. So if they tell you the problem is people who stay, they go, you know what? I understand you want me to leave, but I'm going to stay.
Yeah.
Is if things get bad, then somebody has to come back in to try and rescue you.
Yeah.
And maybe you're risking their life as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're not helping anybody.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a news reporter.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
I love Chuck Henry so much.
He's a legend.
Chuck Henry worked at Channel 4. Does he still work there? I don't know.
No, maybe.
I don't watch. I don't think so.
I don't know.
Anyway, he worked for about 30 years at Channel 4. And they would cover the fires, and they're fans of doing the thing where they put them in the fire if possible, but if not, as close to the flames as they can.
Mm-hmm. You don't know what a fire looks like unless a reporter is standing in front of it.
Correct. And they picked Chuck Henry, and the fire department was fighting the fire, and they said, all press, listen to us. We're not sure where it's going. The winds are unpredictable. Everybody, please move back. Mm-hmm. Chuck Henry's the only one that didn't. Because he wanted to have the best story.
Well, it's an exclusive at that point.
It sure is,
yeah. It's basically in the backdraft.
Yeah.
Yes. So the fire comes along, and it turns out that their van may have gone up in flames.
Oh.
And maybe that's not ideal.
But again, his work van. Not like his like personal van that he
but
like.
But still.
I know, but still, it's just a weird reaction to be like, my work stuff. Like,
yeah.
Come on.
I can see
anyway.
That. Well, this is Chuck Henry.
Yeah. I feel so badly for the people. Lost their possessions. You know, the truck, who cares? Stupid truck with a bunch of equipment in it. I was inside the truck. I tried to get it start. Wouldn't start. I jumped out of the driver's seat, and all there was flames. I saw Lee. He was outside, and I couldn't see where to go. He just said, hey, Chuck, and he's calling at me. It was a fireman. And I just ran in his direction. He grabbed me, and he literally threw us in the back of his truck. Uh-oh, we're in trouble.
I would say don't be that person.
No,
you don't want to be Chuck Henry crying over a news van.
It does sound like you're giving credit to firefighters for being heroic, but they didn't need to be. They told you to leave.
They had a fire to fight.
Yes, there's
they
that.
Didn't need to get you and Lee off the mountain. However, do you think Lee was like, finally, Chuck Henry is going to singe.
And I don't think anyone was yelling Chuck, by the way.
No one was yelling Chuck.
It was a different word that maybe you can't.
Where are you, Chuck?
Yeah. He's. I don't know if he's still around or not.
Interesting.
But.
Chuck
don't.
Is still around. It says he's at NBC now.
Really? Still?
Yeah.
Still. That's the same station.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's 73.
He's been there at Channel 4 for 72 years.
Men are allowed to get old on the news.
Well, unfortunately,
they ship off anyone over 40.
His co-anchor is 12.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
But don't be Chuck, as much as it sucks.
Yeah. I've said that for years.
Look, it's going to... It's a horrible situation either way, but it's much worse if you're putting your life in danger and you're putting other people's lives in danger for your little hose. So
again, he's really focused on that.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Yeah, I'd rather die.
Okay. Jensen is going to introduce us to something that I'm afraid of.
Yeah, it's blippy time.
It's blippy time?
Yeah.
I don't even know what that means.
You're going to learn soon.
Is that the sub shop?
Nope.
Do I want... to know? Do I want to learn?
A lot like the video in The Ring. Like, you're going to want to know.
So you have to watch. You can't pull
away.
Well,
yeah, you're going to want to know, but then the consequences are something you have to live with.
Does the video possess us?
Blippi possesses us.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Terrified.
All right. It's a good time of year for that anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about irrational worries, but this is basically the... You worry about things that really there's a 0 to 1% chance of happening.
Yeah. But it still consumes you.
A lot, yes.
Yeah.
Why? I mean, you do have to sort of consider the odds.
Mm-hmm.
Odds are, it's not going to affect you in any way.
Yeah.
Whatever
yeah.
you're worried about.
Neuroses is real.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We all face it. Mm-hmm.
Speaking of neuroses, we have Ray Romano on the show today.
Excellent. Right. Good. The whole segment is for him.
Excited about that. And Jimmy Eat World will join all us right. in studio.
Wow.
They're going to tell us about their new album, and they're going to play live.
Hey.
Excellent.
So that's coming up this morning. We will take a break. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
You know, Halloween is spooky as hell.
Yes.
All of October should be spooky as hell. So every day we're playing a different Halloween song, and we're asking you, the party people, to help out. So go to at Kevin and Bean. It's our Twitter account. Right now, we have two songs that you can choose from, okay? I think you know what to do is what I'm saying.
Is pick one or the other?
But I think you know what to do.
Oh, I see what you're saying, yeah.
Like, I'm winking.
Agreed.
It's hard to see over the radio, but I'm winking extremely hard.
Are you winking?
Why are you winking?
You know what to do.
Go to Kevin and Bean,
two songs you get to pick from, Monster Mash by Bobby Pickett, you know what to do.
Why are you winking?
Or Bela Lugosi's Dead by Bauhaus. Again.
I'm not worried why he's winking. I just hate how badly he's winking.
His whole face right. contorts.
His face looks like it has temporary paralysis.
The polls close in 6 minutes at 6 a.m. So again, you know what to do.
You ever learn how to wink as a kid?
I'm doing it.
No, you're not. Your whole mouth is turned up upwards. Your nose is crinkled to the side.
Uh-huh. I mean, I'd say never do it again because it might get stuck.
But you know what to do.
Right. You're terrifying. You're right. It is spooky.
Monster Mash, Bela Lugosi's Dead, at Kevin and Bean. You pick the song. We play it.
It is 5 minutes till six. Allie is here.
I just winked at him thinking I would do like a real subtle one.
Yeah.
He tried to do a subtle one and his whole face contorted.
He doesn't have subtle.
You don't know how to wink, Jensen.
Uh-oh.
I'll bet that's a common thing.
How did I learn this so late in life? I thought
I could wink. You didn't learn it yet, by the way.
I know. I can't wink.
This is what you're doing.
I'm going.
Sort of. Yeah.
Giving him that.
You might as well just give him that. Yeah.
Giving him the partner.
Wow.
All right. Allie, what's happening?
After all that, I'd like to give you something.
Mm-hmm. Good call.
Because Zombieland Double Tap is in theaters October 18th. But how would you like access for two into the K-Rock advanced screening of Zombieland Double Tap at the Arclight Hollywood on October 15th?
Yay!
Kids know. That's 3 days prior to it coming out. You're basically going to see it early and then see people that are tweeting, going to opening night of Zombieland Double Tap. And you'll be like, what a loser.
Spoiler, I already went three days ago.
I don't think we're saying spoiler.
No, spoiler. Yeah, send them a tweet.
Just be like Woody Harrelson dies.
Don't tweet it.
Jesse,
text it.
Jesse yeah. Eisenberg, president.
Thomas Middleditch trips on a log, cuts his head open.
Is he in it?
Yeah.
Oh, he was in one of the trailers for a split second.
Yeah.
This movie looks great.
Cool.
It does look really good.
Woody Harrelson, Jesse Eisenberg, Emma Stone, Abigail Breslin, they are all back together for Zombieland Double Tap. Give a call right now, 1-800-520-1067, and we'll just take the first five callers. It's early, and you're going to get access for two into the K-Rock advanced screening of Zombieland Double Tap at the Arclight Hollywood on October 15th.
Call now!
We talk a lot about, does Will Smith really need that money?
Well, I don't think he needs any money ever.
Yeah, but he's selling like cell phone cases that say like Fresh Prince on them.
I mean,
he doesn't need to do that.
It's so much. Like, hey, you want some a sweatshirt that looks just like the inside of the tracksuit that I wore on Fresh Prince? It's like, what are you doing? However, Will Smith is reportedly working on a Fresh Prince of Bel-Air spinoff series. It's hard to say. Hollywood Reporter has a very in-depth article about how the Gemini Man star is expanding his global brand in a huge way. I mean, he's everywhere.
Is he already global?
He's beyond.
He has a YouTube channel that he like updates. It's real weird.
Yeah. The three main takeaways of this: Will Smith is great at social media.
Yes.
Which he has a whole team. He puts like mini movies on Instagram. Like, it's beautifully shot, edited, everything.
Can we use that team?
Yeah.
For our stuff?
They are not cheap,
I imagine.
Then no.
Another takeaway, he has a ton of money.
Sure.
And
yes.
The third takeaway was that he is working on that Fresh Prince of Bel-Air spinoff series. By the way, that ran for 6 seasons, 148 episodes.
Yeah.
But he used to be asked about, hey, would you ever want the Fresh Prince to come back? And his quote was, when hell freezes over. Even when people would say, but your son Jaden could play you. He'd be like, no, never.
He's right on that.
Mm-hmm.
Aw. But now he's into it, which...
I think he's
I don't know. Will Smith has been very confusing to me in a sense that, like, maybe he just wants to be the biggest star in the world more than anything else.
He's like, I will take you down, Rock.
Yeah, and transition into, like, the new cool things to do because just do good movies, man.
Yeah.
I think the whole world loves your movies. I don't know if I love your, like, doing the Harlem Shake video. I don't want to see Will Smith take the, like, ice bucket challenge.
I got to be honest, though. We do look at people that have enough money for life and their kids and their grandkids. And we just think, well, they're going to stop.
Yeah, chill out, relax.
I don't think that's a thing. Like, Will Smith's driven and he wants to be in the public eye and he wants to be acting. He wants to do stuff. Even though he doesn't need the money. I don't understand it at all.
Please. If I was Will Smith, I'd just be at home watching TV.
Remember when we heard about Bright that was on Netflix and we were like, Will Smith is doing a Netflix movie? Because that was the first one that was like, what are you doing, Will Smith? Well, this article said he pulled down $27 million with an upfront salary.
For Netflix?
For Netflix.
Wow.
Double what Warner Brothers would have paid him. I'm sorry.
And then he was playing for the Dodgers, and that seems like
a crazy, ridiculous. Very different.
He's doing too much. Work. And he didn't help the Dodgers. Look what happened.
Exactly.
Different guy altogether.
Stick to acting. No
baseball. Talking about Will Smith.
Will Smith.
Well,
different guy on the Dodgers. Also named Will Smith, but not the actor.
Agree to disagree.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Okay. Good times. Also, did you see the LA Times story? Sources say Dave Roberts is coming back. What are you doing? Some birthdays. Mm-hmm. Joan Cusack, Jane Krakowski, Emily Deschanel, Matt Bomer, Cardi B, and one of my favorite wrestlers, because he'll put his butt right in your face. Stink face! It's Rikishi! I love him so very much.
I just love the way you shouted stink face.
Oh, it's so good.
There are a lot of different ways to get a hold of us. Mm-hmm. You can get a hold of us on social media. Yeah. We all have our own accounts.
Yeah. Mine's at Jensen Karp.
Allie.
At Allie McKay.
Mine's at The Kevin Ryder and also at Kevin and Bean. And you can also email us. We all check the email super regularly to make sure that we keep up with what's coming in.
Yeah, I mean, clearly there's a bunch of us who do check it every day.
I mean, we all pretty much are slaves to the email.
When's the last time you had to just completely trash your email because it was full and you hadn't read any of them?
I mean, maybe 2 months ago.
Okay.
Right.
How many have you read since then?
And tomorrow.
Okay, cool. Just making sure we're all on the same page.
You can also leave us a message on the AFRO line, 323-520-AFRO. Here's a young man that just wants to wish his beautiful wife and very, very understanding wife a happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Julie. Happy birthday, Julie. Hey, Julie.
Is that Sam?
That's Sam, the Armenian comedian.
Pitchy dog.
Who is married.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Shocking.
Yeah.
And has kids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Shocking.
Okay.
But he does owe her everything, so he should probably.
Makes sense. She actually deserves the praise.
Yeah.
We were talking about people who are unconventionally sexy. Yeah. Maybe you find them sexy, but most people don't.
Hey, party people. I couldn't call in on your topic of unconventionally sexy people. So mine has always been Bette Midler.
Oh, Kevin, how mad are you?
Well, here's the thing. Bette Midler bugs me because she acts sexy all the time.
Right.
It was like...
You're not buying it.
No.
Okay.
At all.
Okay.
At all. Like, it's 0% sexy.
Yeah. Right. Like, maybe negative for you.
Yes.
Okay.
But then when she comes out and she sings and she acts, I'm just like, stop it.
Why are you wiggling?
I'm trying to show you.
She kind of slithers around the stage.
Like, in the rows you're talking about? Like that?
In everything. She sees herself, I think, as a sex symbol. And that drives me crazy.
Okay.
Because you know what? She's not
what?
A sex symbol.
Kevin, you're 1,000,000,000% wrong. She is funny and sexy as heck. So you say she looks like a friend of your mom's? Your mom had friends with racks like that? Boy, it must have been something growing up in your house.
Loves Bette Midler.
How much can he?
He will fight you to the death about that.
Hey, this is Philip. I'm a podcast listener. I just wanted to share this interaction. I had the opportunity to meet Donald Glover the other day. And I wanted to tell him how much I loved Atlanta and his acting and his work. And the only thing I could think to say was, Wakanda forever. No. Thanks, Bean.
No, he didn't. Oh, gosh.
I would like to say, listen to the show. We love it.
Yeah.
Don't necessarily mimic it or use inside jokes or stuff, as I've found out many times we all have. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work outside this environment.
A lot of context needed for the Wakanda Forever yell.
Yeah. Agreed, yes. Here's a request for us.
Hey, guys. I was wondering if I could book Heimer and Homer for my friend's bachelorette party next month. Let me know. Thanks. Bye.
I mean, you're going to have to be more specific about what date. She just said next month.
Or who Heimer is. Yeah, or who Heimer is.
We were talking about the fact that there was somebody saying, hey, we can no longer say, hey, you guys. Because it leaves out females, and that's wrong, and it's old school, and blah, blah, blah.
Ridiculous.
I didn't buy it. I thought it was ridiculous, too. But,
hey, guys. Oh, wait. I can't say guys. You know what's gender free and works? Hey, also, hey, party people. Hey, assholes. You know, all the good ones. Still work. Gender-free assholes.
See? Remember what mine was? What up, bitches?
Don't hate it.
See? No. Just walk in a room and say that. People are going to be thrilled.
Are they? Every room?
Every room. Try it.
So we're telling people to try it?
So when we say don't do things that we do on the show,
do
just
it.
Try
yeah,
it.
Yeah, do it at church.
Yeah.
This guy called yesterday, Thursday, and I'm not positive that he understands how Taco Tuesday works.
Okay. It's Taco Thursday! This is LeBron James, by the way.
Well, LeBron can't legally use Tuesday.
That's right.
Got to move it over to Thursday.
That is true. Do you follow your exes after you break up? Another topic we talked about.
Yeah, I was calling about not following your exes, and Jensen was all braggadocious about his wife Danielle not following any of her exes. Well, did some snooping, Jensen. She's following Ben Savage. Check and mate. Boom!
You gotta check and mate and boom.
That is very funny.
I love him.
People found it weird when I said I don't like songs with counting in them.
Oh, like, not that you don't like songs with counting in them. That's weird enough. A vein popping out of your forehead talking about it. You were getting so mad.
I think sometimes when you think something for a long time, you assume pretty much everyone else does. And I sort of thought everyone was on the same page.
Yeah.
No one. Island. People, I'm the only person on that island.
They like counting in songs.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4. Come on, Kevin. Say you love it. 5, 6, 7 times. God damn it, Kevin. You got this song stuck in my head now. Now you have to hear a counting song.
See?
Love you guys.
See, that's what happens.
They're catchy. That's what she's saying. They're so good and catchy.
They're for 7-year-olds is what I'm saying. Don't put counting in your songs.
They're a great counting song.
Unless it's like in the intro before the song. You know?
Your stipulations are insane.
I have a lot of stipulations, yes.
Halloween spooks outside my window. Halloween spooks behind the tree. I just wanted to ruin Kevin's day, okay?
Thank you. Appreciate that.
So my fiance and I were talking about personality tests and personalities, and I ended up calling her a Kevin. I slept on the couch last night. Thanks, Kevin.
Now, it's technically, is that my fault?
I mean, you set the precedence.
Yeah.
So yes?
Yeah. I mean, it's people emulating you, and that's a problem.
Well, don't ever do that. I think I've said that a lot. Ever. Ever. Don't. If you find yourself doing something I would do, you're in the wrong.
Okay.
Oh, my God. I have just discovered, and keep in mind that I am incredibly drunk right now and about to go to sleep, but I think that there is a new language out, and I call it Kevining. There is a, here's a new word. There's a randoming act of kindness from your SoCal helpful. Randoming act of kindness. It's randoming. It's the new Kevin language. I've totally got it. I understand. I speak Kevin now.
And I'd like to say again, if you speak Kevin, you're in trouble.
I love that she got drunk and that was the first thing she thought of. She said, gotta call him, gotta rip into him.
We did Cheers with Muggs where he went and he asked people what their worst injury was in their life. And we really couldn't understand.
Oh, the best guy.
One of the guys.
Hi, guys. This is podcast listener Chris from San Diego. I am calling because I'm listening to Cheers with Beer Mug from Friday. and you guys have a really drunk guy on there trying to tell you where he got his worst injury.
Remember that? We were just like, what is he talking about? War? Is he talking like about like
a mosh pit or something? Yeah. What
the hell?
And I wanted to help. Speak fluent drunk. He is saying that he got into a fight at the Lions Kiwanis Country Club.
The Lions Kiwanis Country Club.
Okay.
So, hope I could help. He's Bob from Chattanooga.
Also, that doesn't really, it's still mysterious
still
as hell.
There's a lot that we don't know. Let's listen to it one more time.
I swear it went. It was in a cell at the old school Atlantis Country Club. A giant Samoan Suey.
What?
Forearm me right in the face.
Okay.
So that was the best pit you've ever been in where you got elbowed in the face. Forearm in the
best pit I was ever in.
Yeah, a Chet Lioness Country Club. That's what I
heard.
But
there's so many other questions.
There's so many other words that aren't
Suey
defined.
Did Suey do it to him?
Suey did it, and it's his lip. That's what we know.
That's all we know, really.
Yeah.
323-520.
Why do you care for me when we all fall asleep? Where do we go?
That sort of sounds like a Halloween song, too.
It works.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Just before that, we played Monster Mash.
Yeah.
I'm not telling the story again because...
Please.
I told the story one time.
Yeah.
You need it.
And it just destroyed us for the next, like, month and a half.
Yeah. By the way, can we also just say we played Monster Mash?
Yes.
And who pops up on the chat but Bean, who said, interviewing, what's his name?
Bobby Boris Pickett. Yeah.
Top five career highlight for him. And he's dead serious.
Been in radio 30 years. The guy who sings Monster Mash is a highlight.
And I don't remember that interview at all. Because
you
I didn't
shouldn't.
Care.
Come on.
No.
You shouldn't.
So the story is, Bean loves us so much, for the first 10 years we worked together, out of nowhere, he would start gargling, which is sort of the sound of the song at the beginning.
Right. Yeah.
And he would keep doing it. He would still be doing it if I didn't start doing the lyrics.
Mm.
I was working. And if you're in a bad mood, it doesn't matter. You just go, all right, listen, if I want this to end,
I have to start
doing the lyrics. So this is how... And in the weirdest... places that have nothing to do with it, even in our personal lives.
Right. He just called you and start gargling?
Yes.
It's a weird man.
Yes, and then I would go, stop it. I don't want to do the lyrics to Monster Mash right now.
Odd duck, that
thing. So weird. And then you told that story
once.
And it took over the Afro line. Mm-hmm. It took over people coming to meet you guys at April Foolishness.
It is that odd woman, to meet somebody that's gargling.
Do you remember the woman that walked up, shook your hand, took her beer, started gargling?
Yep.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I love it.
We don't
so
need
much.
To repeat that, but I'm just saying that was before.
It won. It won the today. So it's the Halloween song.
Yes.
Against Bauhaus.
Yeah.
Which is like a total K-Rock, like this is a K-Rock band.
Yeah.
The freaking Monster Mash won.
Yeah, it'll go back in. We still have chance. There's more days than October.
There are.
Coming up next, Jensen is going to introduce us to Blippi, and I'm getting the sense that I don't want to be introduced to Blippi.
Oh my God, people are already rioting online, like, don't do this to America.
Well, I'm bringing up some Blippi controversy. I'm not going to just play a bunch of clips from him.
All right.
I'm going to play two clips.
Also later today, Ray Romano will join us and Jimmy Eat World with some new music. Right now it is 6:54. Allie, what's happening?
I feel like at this point I should just tell you who doesn't have a daytime talk show.
Okay.
Because it's getting insane. CBS is moving ahead with a syndicated daytime talk show hosted by Drew Barrymore. It's on track for a fall 2020 launch. Apparently, about 2 months ago, she shot a pilot in New York. They loved it. Mm-hmm. This marks the first daytime syndicated talk show launched by CBS TV distribution in quite some time, but arrives at a time when, this is a notoriously difficult genre.
Yes, but it's pretty cheap to produce, so they keep rolling them out and trying them.
And if they don't succeed...
If they hit, they're great.
Yeah, you move on to the next one. But we've got NBC, Kelly Clarkson. You've got a really solid start for Tamron Hall on the Disney channels, ABC-owned channels. So now enter Drew Barrymore, which... I mean, Kelly Clarkson I get because she's so likable and she's kind of like a relatable person.
But I feel like that's would be hers
too. Do you feel
too.
Drew Barrymore as well?
I think so.
Okay.
I feel the same vibe with her, I think.
She's definitely someone I would want to have many beers with.
Yeah.
She's also very famous.
Yes.
Yeah,
like
true.
For having a daytime talk show, there's not many people who go from, at one point, A-list. I know she probably wouldn't be now, but that's really of her choosing. She doesn't do much.
Yeah.
And then getting a talk show from being an A-list, I can't think of many other people who've done that.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's why they're counting on it.
Yeah.
Big start.
Also, didn't they give one to Robotnik Cannon?
Well, yeah.
Last week?
This one announced for fall 2020. Also, fall 2020, Nick Cannon.
Yeah.
But not announced if any stations have cleared that yet. So you don't know what stations it's going to be on, if any.
He'll do it on YouTube. I mean, there's no stopping Nick Cannon, as you know.
Please, I'd rather sit in my bed, like, just staring at a wall.
Remember... Oh, wow. David Letterman?
Okay, yeah. Do you remember that?
So sad you came up with it.
Good work.
Do you remember her appearances on Letterman?
Oh, yeah. She flashed him.
She stood on the desk and flashed him, but she was one of those people that he just loved having on. I feel like he has to be on her show, right? Gotta have a little crossover.
Sure.
Who's with me?
Whose show was he on that you didn't enjoy? Conan?
Conan O'Brien's podcast.
Who you
I
love.
Can't believe that.
It was, the launch of the second season. So it was less than a week ago, and I saw David Letterman on Conan O'Brien.
Dream matchup.
It's like
a dream matchup.
Immediate download, yeah.
So I immediately posted on Instagram with yes and cheering, and then I listened to it, and I was bored to death.
Was it David?
Yes, it was.
Conan is pretty entertaining no matter what. Even if he's not talking about anything, he's entertaining.
Conan's podcast, if you haven't listened to it, Conan O'Brien Wants to Be Your Friend, he's so engaging.
Yeah, he's great.
And you can tell that this is a medium that he's talked about that he never wanted to do. He mm-hmm. was always like, why would I do a podcast? It's so perfect for him because he has so many stories and he lets the other person tell their story. With a lot of celebrities, they're constantly interrupting, like trying to one-up them with the joke. It flows so well.
Except...
some of the funniest ones I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Martin Short with Conan O'Brien, if you're going to listen to any of them, start with that. It's one of the greatest things I've ever heard.
I would have started with Letterman.
Well, I'm going to tell you, don't. It's just, I got 40 minutes in and I was like, oh God, how much longer? It was just like, David Letterman talks at it's a much slower pace. Mm-hmm. On his show, it was very, rapid fire. It was all the looks, all the asides.
And he was trying to be funny, which I feel like he's
kind of given up. Yeah.
He's over that.
He's completely abandoned being funny. But even, like, some of the talks that I'd be interested in, like, Conan had Jimmy Kimmel on.
Yeah.
And they talked about things like Conan said, every time I see you, Jimmy, you're asking, how much longer are you going to do this? How much longer are you going to do this? And Conan's response is, until I stop having fun. And you just hear Jimmy so beat down go, wait, you're still having fun? And that type of interaction and hearing what both of them go through with their shows, I was expecting to get with Letterman, but on an even bigger scale.
Sure.
I didn't get it.
Hmm. I feel like Letterman nowadays just sits at home, plays with his kid, listens to radio. He loves the radio.
Yeah.
I don't think he wants to be funny.
I mean, even his Netflix interview show.
Yeah, he's just straightforward
interview. Yeah. I don't think he wants to be funny anymore either.
Yeah.
Like, done that?
I get it, man.
Still, you would think, like, this is a guy who entertained us, shaped most of our
lives. Absolutely.
Almost everyone,
How do you just shed that? I assume it's a big part of you.
Yeah.
Huh.
So maybe don't have him on Drew Barrymore? Is that the takeaway?
I would say...
maybe he'll flash her, though.
Oh,
I would say
if
Conan can't make him interesting, now you're running into trouble.
Yeah. And you know what? I may be completely wrong. If other people listened to it and were fully engaged and enjoyed it, I might have just... maybe I was having a rough day. I wasn't.
He had a funny cameo in Between Two Ferns.
Very funny.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there's hope.
Not for that podcast.
That sucked.
It wasn't for me. By the way, Ray Romano also on Conan's podcast. And Ray said, which I was laughing so hard because it's everything we kind of know about Ray.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Ray Romano, I've been doing this podcast. We're now up to I don't even know how many. No one has ever called and said, all right, what are we going to talk about? Like, what kind of stuff do you want from me? What do you need? He's like, no one cares, right? No one cares about what they need to do.
Ray wanted to do a pre-interview?
You wanted, like, homework. Like, what do I need to bring in? And he's like, well, I like to, know what I'm up against, what I'm going to be doing. And it was so funny.
He's very conscious of that.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I play poker with him, and, like, he would say... in the day, I'm going on Letterman, so I need to prepare so that I'm ready and I have to have stories and I need to know what
Which
I'm talking
is
about.
Amazing.
That makes the best appearances.
A lot of people don't.
And that's exactly Conan's point. He's like, no one cares that they're coming on my podcast. No one cares if it's going to be good. You actually want it to be good, and I appreciate that.
Yep.
Maybe we should start, like, researching or
something crazy. Too late. Some birthdays for you. Matt Bomer, Cardi B, Emily Deschanel, Jane Krakowski, Joan Cusack, and we usually wouldn't mention this guy, but he's the greatest wrestler ever in my book because he would in people's faces. Rikishi!
This day in history with Old Man Reuben.
It's October 11th, 1975, and I'm home alone on a Saturday night. I just got stood up on a date from a woman that I met at the laundromat downstairs, and I'm sad as hell, chugging from a tea kettle filled with Harvey Wallbanger. I'm basically ready to drink until I see my dad again. But then, out of nowhere, the television is like, and I perked up. It was the debut of a show called Saturday Night Live, and George Carlin was the host. It was this totally revolutionary sketch show introducing characters and comedians that were larger than life. And for that hour of laughs, I totally forgot about that laundromat girl. Her body started to decompose the next morning, so I had a barrier then.
Oh, my God.
But honestly, SNL really helped me for that night.
See, because Ruben is old.
Psychopath.
Wait, I'm glad SNL was there for him.
Yeah. He's a murderer, too?
It sounds like it.
He's lived a life. We have to get him to write a book.
Or arrested.
All right, listen, people, there are, I'm sure you know there are fires up in the northern area, Sylmar, the 118, the 210, Santa Clarita, and there's a lot of people who probably shouldn't come to work. We just got a memo right now that says if you live in that area, don't come into work. To which I say, where was that memo 2 hours ago when I got up?
And I saw the response. Over 400 people live over there because they all said, oh, I'm not coming into work.
Everybody responded.
I guess a lot of people who work at K-Rock and Intercom must
But it does suck out there. So sorry to everyone. And if they want to evacuate you, please.
Yeah, stay safe.
Yeah, let them evacuate you. All right, what else can we talk about before Blippi?
Nothing, because we need to get right to Blippi. We need as much time as possible for Blippi.
Sure? Why is Omar in here?
Well, I'll get to that. Okay. Do either of you know who Blippi is?
No.
Not a clue.
Not a clue? Well, that's why I asked Omar to come in.
Okay.
Omar, how much does Blippi ruin your life?
Blippi was a total nightmare. I have, when I discovered Blippi, I like almost instantly cut him off from my kids.
That's how bad. He's saying that.
Almost instantly.
Yeah.
Are there any other entertainers banned from the house in the child field?
No. No, okay. They watch, and my kids watch the weirdest stuff, but Blippi's the only one that I banned.
Like Barney Teletubbies type thing?
Like, sure, sort of.
Kind of, but mixed in with like pedophilia.
Wait, what?
He is the most popular children's entertainer in the United States
now. Children are his audience.
Yes,
100%. That was disturbing what you just said.
Well, he's more creepy than anything.
Okay.
10 billion views on YouTube since launching the channel.
10 what?
Billion views since launching the channel in 2014. Let's get a quick taste of what Blippi is like. This is him arriving at a bakery.
So much to learn about, it'll make you want to shout, Blippi!
Hey! It's me, Blippi! And today, we're at Lior the Baker's place in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Hate him.
And today, you and I are gonna eat a lot of tasty treats. Whoa! Whoa!
Okay.
He can go straight to hell.
Remember, he's not a cartoon, okay? He's got a very Pee Wee Herman vibe, but he's much more basic and more earnest. It's not a complex bit at all. It's just
excited about stuff.
31-year-old Stephen John. He grew up in Washington State. And
By the way, so did all serial killers.
he made this persona into a multi-million dollar business. He wears an orange bow tie. Okay. Orange suspenders, a two-tone Scally cap, and these oversized orange glasses. That's the entire costume. It's not like
complex at all.
It's not elaborate. No, that's it. He reacts to things and points them out.
Does he have underwear and pants on? You didn't mention that.
Well, he wears pants. But I doubt he wears underwear based on how scary this character is. He just reacts to things and points them out. He's slightly educational in a way to say this is what a computer screen is or this is what this is. This is him encountering a large piece of bread in the bakery.
Look at how big these are. Jeez, look at that. That is massive. We need to get this one.
Okay, I don't like that.
Oh my gosh, what is that?
And this is like the new incarnation of Blippi. When Blippi first started, it was really him just going to different playgrounds by himself.
Okay.
See, going,
Yeah, exactly.
He would go,
hey, look at this yellow slide. Let's go down the slide. Yeah. And then that'd be the entire episode.
Were your kids into it at the point you banned it?
Oh, they were.
So were they mad?
No. They I let them watch like three episodes, and I was like, whoa. Let's not watch this. Yeah.
You should also have maybe noticed that he was in the news earlier this year when old YouTube clips of him popped up. This is of Stephen John before he became Blippi. He was kind of like a attempted a comedian.
Oh,
and
no.
So he tried to make a Harlem Shake video, and it involved him pooping on his friend.
Okay. So, all right.
I'm back in.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, for reals. There was like a video that came out while he was trying to go viral, and he does the Harlem Shake, and a little bit of poop comes out, and it goes on his friend.
Okay.
Because he's not wearing any pants.
So what? Wait, what?
Yeah, he had to admit that that was like an old persona of his, and now Blippi's a whole new thing. And that was the first controversy he ran into.
The first.
This week is the big one, right?
Oh, no.
He announced that Blippi Live would be going on the road for a month. This is a massive deal. This is the first time he's went out on the road.
For what age kids?
The same company that's
one
doing...
One to two?
Yeah, basically, the same company that's doing Baby Shark Live is doing Blippi Live.
Right.
So it's very young. He was going to go 30 cities, starts in San Antonio, ends in Minnesota. So the tickets were expected to sell out immediately. Parents were like rushing to their computer to buy tickets. If Omar hadn't banned it from the house, I'm sure he would have been doing the same thing. So then after they bought the tickets, they started to read the fine print, and now they're furious and all demanding refunds.
What?
It's not Stephen John. He is franchising Blippi out to random people. And
what?
If you go see him live, it's just going to be another person doing Blippi in the costume.
Playing the character
Blippi. He's going to stay at home and make YouTube videos, and around the U.S., random dudes, I'm sure they're not checking well enough, are going out there and playing Blippi in his costume.
All right, so question, the parents care. I assume the kids don't.
I mean, I think at a certain point you'd be like, that's not really Blippi.
Maybe, yeah.
The only way parents even knew is from fine print. So one parent, this woman named Dana Oliver, I'm livid. I spent $400 on six-row tickets and two meet and greets, and now they're going to be meeting some rando. I'm trying to get a refund.
Can I say something?
Yes.
If you're a parent and you bought tickets to Blippi, you deserve this. Okay?
Wow.
Because you should not be watching or be any way into Blippi.
I mean, you're not even getting Blippi. You're getting, like, Blippi 2. It's like when Gallagher's brother started to do Gallagher's Act, which kids, I'm sure, understood that reference.
This seems bogus.
But would you even care? Like, would you just go anyway, and if your kids love it, they love it?
I mean, I assume if I have young enough kids, they won't notice either.
Yeah, because their audience is definitely for, like, 3, 4, and 5. So they're not going to
notice. But not 6, 7, 8.
And also, they think the Santa Mall is the Santa. So, and we all know the real Santa is the North Pole, so...
Good.
Afraid
there for a second. If I'm going with an alleged pedophile, mm-hmm. I'm going with Mr. Rogers, right?
Old school.
He was
all soapy. You know, soap suds all over me.
Right.
And then my grandfather would take this hose
right.
like this with me. He'd squirt all over me until the soap, you know, he'd rinse the suds off. Right.
So you were playing.
Yeah, my grandfather and I did a lot of playing together.
We have Ray Romano coming up and some live music from Jimmy Eat World. I can see him in the hallway bringing in the guitars and everything else.
Nice.
The amps.
Hmm.
Love live music. All right. It's.
I really went out on a limb there. It's hot take.
Let's talk about people who worry about things that shouldn't be worried about.
Why is everyone looking at me right now?
They're not really going to end up being a thing. But you become obsessed with it and you worry about it every day.
Yeah.
Yes.
This came up because of something I did earlier in the week. I had to get an oil change. And sure, you could go to wherever you bought your car, do all that. They're like, oh, would you like to use a loaner car? And then you're like, yeah. And then they're like, we don't have any for 2 weeks. So why? Why would I even do that? So I went to one of those little quick, like, Valvoline places.
Sure.
And as I'm waiting to drive in... Because you drive in yourself, then you wait in your car as they're checking on things, but you have to straddle that open area that just has a little net and somebody is underneath there that's going to be checking all your fluids. This is not sexual, Kevin. Oh, it's your
checking,
car.
Someone's checking your oil.
It is, well, it, my car.
Oh.
But I think every single time as the man is standing in front of you, kind of waving you in, I think, what if I all of a sudden forget how to drive and I just veer to the right out of nowhere and then I fall into that net and I'm dead?
You're not worried about the guy in front of you or underneath your car.
No.
You're worried about you dying?
Yes.
And also veering off out of nowhere. Like, at least there's some reason he might die in that case. You just would be, like, weirdly having a stroke or something.
Yes. I think, what if I pass out as I'm driving in and then, like, my foot gets lodged and all of a sudden I'm just flooring it?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
I think that every single time I go to get an oil change, and I posted about it, I said, getting an oil change where you have to drive and keep tires on either side of that net. Am I the only one convinced they're going to forget how to drive and plunge to their death? Total butthole pucker.
I hope you're the only one.
I am far from the only one. So as I'm sitting there.
But don't you once go, I'm worried about forgetting how to drive. That's crazy.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, no, I know it's not going to happen. I'm literally going 1 mile per hour, and there is a guy telling me exactly how to do it. And if he says, oh, go to the left a little bit, you just turn your wheel
Are you making progress on not worrying about that?
Well, I decided, and incorrectly so, to ask the gentleman that was ringing me up, listen, is this dumb, but hasn't anyone ever, like, driven into the net?
No.
And he goes, oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
I'm like, wait, what? And he goes, I mean, it's not common, but oh, yeah.
We have a cemetery out back if you want to count the tombstones.
But it does happen.
But it doesn't happen to you, and it's not gonna.
Well, not if I just decide not to get an oil change. That's fine for your car, right?
I don't think that's
drive,
the answer.
Drive the engine into the ground. I am a new father, and I think you have to keep in mind that I am medicated for this subject.
Okay.
Like, I have obsessive compulsive disorder. This medication has just cured me over the last 2 or 3 years.
I wouldn't say cured, but
all
go
right,
ahead.
Thanks a lot. But from basically 13 to my late 30s, I have been riddled with fear that makes no sense. And most of it's gone, but the one that has stuck with me as a new dad is every once in a while I'll be driving and I have the child seat in the back, you know, the toddler seat or whatever. And I'll just look back and I'll go, he's not in here, right? Like, I am nervous that I forgot I have the kid with me and I've just been driving.
I'd like to say that also is never going to happen.
I don't think so.
There are people that leave their kids in their cars.
But Jensen's not one of those people.
I don't know, and you're not
one of those people that's going to forget how to drive magically. That
Has he driven with me, Kevin?
No.
Okay.
I also have a fear of, if I've forgotten that I have the kid, does that mean, like, when I went to the mall and then packed my car, did I leave the baby seat on the floor and drive off because I forgot I have a kid?
I get that, because one time I left my coffee mug on the roof of my car.
Yeah.
Drove off.
Exact same thing.
Same thing, right?
No, I'm not sure that example.
It was a great mug.
That worked okay.
Yeah.
Well. All right.
You love that mug?
Forever.
All right. Well,
you just got the mug? I assume it was real, like a couple of months?
Oh, yeah.
Did you think you were going to have the mug for about 18 years?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely.
Then it is exactly the same.
Thanks.
But it's not real. I will never forget that I have my child with me. I just think I spent so many years not as a dad that I'm always nervous I'm going to be like carefree Jensen again.
Wow. Maybe that's a whole different look.
It's just going to magically happen again.
I hope not.
It's odd. There are all kinds of studies that say if you spend too much time worrying about what ifs,
you will it to happen?
No, it diminishes your life expectancy, heart attacks, like your health,
Kevin, this is dark.
Stress. Oh, no, man. I'm saying that is what constantly worrying about stuff and what ifs does to you.
Well, we can't be alone then. People should call in with these fears that they have, right?
Yeah, 1-800-520-1067. You're afraid of something that's never going to happen.
Yeah.
Is that how to say it?
Yeah, I think so. Irrational fear of something.
People that think, oh my God, if I get in this elevator, what if this is the elevator that just all of a sudden the cables are cut and I plunge to my death?
Yeah, that would make sense.
Look for somebody with cable cutters up top and then you're good.
Okay.
Oh, yeah,
all
that's
right,
probably a much better way of doing
it. No, that's absurd. But let's talk to a listener, shall we?
Yeah.
Let's talk to Nick in Laguna Beach. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, everybody. Hello. Yeah, I live two blocks from the beach in Laguna. Shout out to Zoe, Nate, and Anna.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I'm totally shocked that you live near the beach hearing you. It's crazy.
Go ahead.
And so, I take the dog out in the morning. It's beautiful in South Laguna, and just enjoy the surf. And then I saw this thing 2 months ago about dragging your feet so that the stingrays and the jellyfish don't get you. And so now every time I'm in the water, instead of like frolicking about, I have this vision of, I see a stingray and I turn around and everyone's on the beach like peeing on each other because they've all been stung. And so I drag my feet.
Wow.
You know what I mean? I drag my feet now. And so now I'm not frolicking.
Yeah.
I'm not frolicking anymore, man.
Yeah. I hate to see Nick stop frolicking. That's sad.
Then the terrorist won if he doesn't frolic.
Yeah. I think it's also a kind of a look into Nick's kinks that he turns around and everyone's peeing on each other.
Well, on that Friends episode?
Sure, the Friends episode.
Oh, I didn't see Nick going into a Friends reference.
I didn't see this coming, no.
Came out of nowhere.
Does this mean there's a reunion?
I love Nick.
All right, thank you for the
call.
Good
luck, Nick.
1-800-520-1067. You worry about something that will never happen.
I hope that Nick can frolic again.
Same.
The Kevin and Bean Show.
It's just bad. Very bad. F minus.
The world famous K-Rock.
We'll play Lana Del Rey in 1 second. We're talking about people who worry about things that will never happen.
Mm-hmm. Most likely never happen.
And we have Robbie in Culver City. Good morning, Robbie.
Hey, good morning. How you guys doing?
Very well, thank mm-hmm. you. So what do you worry about that just won't ever happen?
Oh, my God. Okay, so I hate going over bridges because I'm afraid my car is going to plummet off the side of the bridge and I'm going to die.
Yeah, it could happen, Robbie.
Yeah, it's happened before, Robbie. Keep that one in mind.
How would that happen?
Well, because, you're driving along and, what if, some car next to you gets a blowout or you get a blowout, your tire explodes and you have to swerve mm-hmm. and then you just fall right off the edge.
Yeah.
He's not wrong.
I mean, there's no guardrails on bridges. I know that.
There's no way to stop you.
But there's those little strings. I mean, they're like string wires. Your car could go through those things.
Yes, there's strings. There's small
rope strings.
What bridge
are you driving over in Culver City, Robbie?
What rickety town are you driving through?
Culver City, they haven't quite come up to the standards yet.
But Robbie,
When you go to San Diego, you have that bridge, that big bridge you have to drive over, and I swear those things are unsafe. They should just not make bridges.
Wait a minute.
You didn't say
the bridge was unsafe. You said you're going to have a blowout, and then you're just going to go plummeting right off the side.
Well, because the bridges, there's no way.
Did Robbie just drive off a bridge?
Did he just drive off a bridge?
Robbie!
No! Robbie, we lost you.
Robbie. Are you there?
I'm still here.
Okay, God.
Oh, my God. Thank God.
He survived. That's great news. 1-800-520-1067. We will take your calls next on K-Rock. Allie's afraid that she's going to forget what's going on the show.
Yeah.
Multiple times
she's
a day.
Counting you guys. Segments wrong.
Can I tell you about a text from the 310?
Please.
I always get made fun of, but I scream and run whenever I see a butterfly because I read in a magazine that you can get pink eye if they touch you. sir.
Wow.
Or ma'am.
Wow.
You get pink eye if you see a dog taking a poop.
Everyone knows that.
Don't be stupid.
And from Laura on Twitter, I won't drive into the car wash. Same stupid fear. Right?
But hitting left or right.
Right. Yeah. Or you just get in there, forget how to drive, and all of a sudden
What's that?
It's a fear.
Forget how to drive.
Yes.
Out of all my fears, forget how to drive isn't one of them.
Don't yell at Laura and I.
Okay, sorry. I just find it ridiculous.
Okay.
All right, let's go to Emily in Huntington Beach. Good morning, Emily.
Good morning, party people.
Good morning. So you have a fear that will never happen.
I'm afraid that when I drive on the 405.
Yes, go ahead. Turn your radio down.
Or your kids.
Oh, sorry.
But go ahead. You drive on the 405.
Over by John Wayne, and I'm definitely terrified that an airplane's just going to fall down on me.
Oh, as a plane's going overhead, you're afraid it's just going to crush your car.
That's the same thing in the 405 by LAX, where planes are coming over that freeway.
I mean, but we can all address the idea that there are planes pretty much throughout the whole sky, and yes. that a plane could probably fall on you if you're near John Wayne or anywhere.
Except for...
Thanks, but they're Jensen. Driving right over it. They're well, going to fall. I either speed up or slow down if it's coming right over.
Yeah.
That's not a real rational
Wow,
fear.
Okay.
I mean, I feel it, Emily. I get it. Just drive faster. Drive faster and close your eyes.
So we're in fan of just stepping on it? That's what we're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Let's go to Candace in Long Beach. Good morning.
Hi, happy Friday party, people.
Hey. Happy Friday.
You as well.
Thank you. So I'm a Jewish mama. So yeah. as Jensen knows, we already suffer from horrible bouts of just neurotic, ridiculous paranoia on a regular basis.
Absolutely.
So
I
try to keep in check.
That how sounds many, like a terrible way to live.
It's how many times you check the door if it's locked, Candace, at night?
Well, at least a half a dozen times.
There you
and
go.
I have to chirp the alarm on my car about 10, 12 times before I can go to sleep and feel all right and comfortable with yeah. you know.
Yeah. So Candace speaks my language. So, yeah.
So I am a mother of teenage twin girls, mm-hmm. and we have full-size bunk beds in their room. And
by
so
the way, I just want to say you're a mother of teenage girls. Congratulations. Yeah. Your life is blessed.
Oh, thank you. Well, actually, they're very, very good girls, so I'm very, very lucky.
I meant that, genuinely, because I have twin girls. Mm-hmm. It's the best thing in my life.
Oh, that's right. Yes, you do. How old are yours again?
48. I'm telling you, they grow up fast. They really grow up fast. All right,
okay,
so what's your fear? What's your fear?
So my paranoia is one of these nights, I am going to get woken up in the middle of the night by a very loud crash, and it is going to be because somehow the top bunk fell onto the bottom bunk with my child in the bottom.
Candace,
and then I have to... Yes.
Just in case, do you always make sure your favorite kid is on the top bunk? I'm asking the questions you're
question.
All thinking.
It's a good question.
Yeah, but really, is
Actually,
the favorite on the top?
It's an excellent question, and funny enough, every 6 months, they swap top and bottom.
It's almost like
other.
A lottery. It's like a lottery.
Yes.
Who gets the bottom bunk?
Oh,
I win!
It's hot
who gets the top bunk?
It's hot
oh,
potato.
No.
Yeah, top potato. You got it.
Oh, man. So then all of a sudden, there I am having to run into their room and just with my superhuman strength
sure.
lift
yeah.
that
Pick
bunk
it up.
Off mm-hmm. before right. anybody gets hurt.
And how many times has that happened?
That has never happened.
Never.
But
right, right.
I that show, A Thousand Ways to Die
yeah.
on... Bike back in the day, uh-huh. there was an episode where these college kids, one guy was banging his girlfriend on the top bunk, and they got so crazy that, boom, it fell, and it killed the guy on the bottom. So
I just want to say this.
I do hope that when your twins start having sex, so they're not sleeping in bunk beds anymore.
I certainly hope so, and I don't need that image in my head.
All right, listen, you brought it up. All right. Thank you for the call, Candace. We appreciate it. Let's go to Rob in Los Angeles. Good morning, Rob.
I think that's Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Is hey, guys.
Hello.
Is it Heimer?
Nothing. What's your fear, Bob? This segment?
Parking garages. Whenever I drive in one, I always duck my head in the entrance just to make sure I don't hit my head on the concrete cement.
In
and
your car?
When I'm in there.
Do you have,
in your car?
Do you have a convertible?
No.
Well,
it's
that's
covered.
Idiotic.
Yeah, but, you know, I just don't want to hit my head. And
no one does.
And I'm also afraid that it's going to collapse on me while I'm in there. So I'm kind of in a race to find a stall so I can get out of there as soon as I can.
Do you run out?
If no one's looking.
Yeah, but he's got to duck. He's got to duck his head. I mean, even when you're running, I mean, just get down. It's like a helicopter. You got to get low.
Yeah, and, like, some of them shake, so, like, sometimes I feel like, oh, it's an earthquake, so I kind of wait a few minutes just to be sure there's no real earthquake, and I'm like, all right, I don't think there's going to be an earthquake. I can go inside.
Maybe park on the street, man.
Hey, sometimes you can.
Sometimes you
can't.
That's
true.
There's
no street parking in L.A., you know?
Right. And that's when Rob just runs, just full-speed runs.
It's also Bob.
He's also Bob.
Right,
also,
whoever.
My fear is that you're just going to keep calling him Rob.
Oh, I am. There's no question about that. Let's see. Where do we want to go? There's too many...
Francisco on line two.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, just to calm Jensen down.
Hey, Francisco.
Hey, what's up, bitches?
Exactly.
Hey, I liked it. It worked.
Yeah.
Well, like, Jensen, I had that irrational fear that I would forget my son in the car.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And on the third child, that fear came true when I left my child at home one time when I was going to go to the market. I drove off with two kids in the car. I look to the back, and there's an empty car seat.
Oh. How old was the kid you left at home?
At the time, he was about three or four.
So I'm sure your next thought was 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:53. Ray Romano in the next hour. Mm-hmm. And Jimmy Eat World in the next
hour. That's action-packed.
How about that?
Quite a Friday.
What if they join forces and Ray Romano sang for Jimmy Eat World and then they'd be like, oh, let's do some jokes. It'd be amazing.
Somebody said that on Twitter, and I denied them instantly.
Okay.
That's not a great idea.
Okay, well, just spitballing here. Okay. Nothing set in stone.
Everybody loves Jimmy.
Oh.
Raymond Eats World.
Oh, not bad.
Not bad.
Both like not it. Bad.
Yeah.
All right, 7:53, Friday. Mm-hmm. What's happening?
Well, this is the What's Happening that we talk about our playlist that is on Spotify. It is called That's My Jam. We're going to link it at Kevin and Bean on all of our social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. It's essentially a playlist where every member of the Kevin and Bean Show adds a new song every single week, something that might have just come out or something that we come across in our own travels and we're like, oh, remember this song? That's my jam. Hence the name, That's My Jam.
That's where it
good
came
origin
from.
Story.
I know.
Very
I know.
Good.
Wow. Thank you so much. Kevin's origin story, bit by a spider, now he has powers.
Kevin, I don't have any powers.
What is your choice this
you
week?
You know how a band can be in a sort of a parallel universe, like Oasis was huge, no one knew about him in America.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One of those things.
Like Robbie Williams was that way.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. So this is a band that's been together for 7 years that I discovered.
Wow.
Named Otherkin.
Okay.
And Otherkin is a famous word for people who don't identify as human beings. They see themselves as a dragon or whatever. So I was like, okay, that's kind of interesting.
That's what drew him in.
And then I heard a song called On and On. And I was like, okay, this song is great. This is my pick. Fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to their website. I found a new band. This is great. Here's the website. We have some difficult news to share.
Oh.
After 7 amazing years together, we've decided to call it a day. I literally found a band that I was excited about that is quitting now.
You picked the perfect time to jump in, man.
Wow. Does it then say on the website, so thanks a lot, Kevin.
Suck it,
where
Kevin.
Were you 7 years ago?
So Otherkin is the name of the band that used to be, and the song that I picked is On and On.
You'll never be the man everyone's talking. Man on the street, the man of the moment. You took your pawn shop, beat it, and now your dreaming is done. On and on. On and on. Do it to death till you die.
So R.I.P.
Are they playing locally anytime soon? Do you know? Or
R.I.P. Otherkin.
Trying to find like any new albums or whatever,
no,
but it doesn't sound like anything scheduled.
They've now broke up. At first, I thought it was Liam Gallagher.
Yeah,
it sounds
sort of
like
very
him.
Similar.
So I was like, oh, is this? No. It's a band that now is dead.
Very sad.
So that's how I roll.
Well, Bean has the next pick, and he is off today. He will be back on Monday. But he picked a band out of Australia. It's actually just a singer-songwriter. Goes by the name of Tones and I. Released her debut EP in August. But here's what Bean said. Allie, I can't decide if my That's My Jam has the worst voice ever or if it'll grow on me. But it's been number one in Australia for 9 weeks. Listen, you guys are either going to hate it or love it. That's from Bean.
Yeah.
So
that's every week with Bean.
Here is his choice, Tones and I with Dance Monkey.
Ooh, you make me.
I mean, honestly,
what do we do, my
that is Bjork on a helium.
Yeah.
It's like Bjork in like a 1920s club.
I kind of dug it.
A little jazz handsy.
Yeah.
I didn't hate it.
All right. Jensen, you're up next.
A great rapper out of Detroit named Danny Brown. He's not new. He put out a record in 2011 I love called XXX.
Is he still making money? Music?
He's still around.
Oh, okay.
He's not giving up.
Shoot.
Yeah. The new album just came out on October 4th. It's called You Know What I'm Saying. It's really good. It has guest appearances from Run the Jewels and Blood Orange. Q-Tip produces on it. He has a cameo. But there's the one first single that I love and I've been listening to all week is called Dirty Laundry.
Okay, want to hear the story? Left the house in a hurry. I was in hunky dories. Got some gas from Lori. Left my wallet at home. I want to hear that story. And the car had changed from laundry. Had to wash clothes anyway. Told her I'm sorry. Slow anyway, but buddy was born. Said, give me a moment. Jumped on it and bounced. No fabric softener, cause I was cause the thing she gave me, had me moaning and groaning. Guess who I seen doing laundry next morning.
I heard the words November and groaning. That's what I got. Mm-hmm.
I heard moaning.
That's it. Moaning. Moaning and groaning.
Also, a weird voice.
Two in a row.
Keep the streak alive.
All right. Well, speaking of weird voices.
All right.
But here's the thing.
Why didn't you guys tell me there was a theme?
There wasn't. Here's the thing. I'm scrolling through Instagram stories. You know when you're scrolling and then sometimes you're not even looking at them. You're just kind of going all over the place. My friend Vanessa posted a video of this band called the Teskey Brothers, and I'm listening to it and I'm like, did she see Otis Redding performing? Is this Wilson Pickett? What is happening? And then I look at the screen and I'm like, these are all white dudes. Where is this voice
the soul
coming
from?
I then go down a rabbit hole of the Teskey Brothers. They're a blues rock band also out of Australia. They have two studio albums out. There is some absolute jams on this last one. But I picked my favorite song on the album. It's slower than most songs that I would ever play on That's My Jam. But I wanted you to get a feel for this lead singer's voice and his range and how soulful it is. Because keep in mind when you listen to this, these are hot white dudes from Australia. Here's the Teskey Brothers with Rain.
Is that rain? Are you crying again? Would it be the same if I could hold you, my friend? I know it's hard to be alone. A soul with no face is a lonely embrace. But I know it's hard. I know it's hard.
That is that is some boning music.
I would never be able to predict that music is from a decade I was alive in.
Amen.
Yeah.
I'm
Teskey Brothers still making music?
They certainly are.
What's that like?
Yeah, they certainly are. Their new album just came out, I believe, in August. It's called Run Home Show, and that song Rain is off of it. They rule so hard, you guys. As do all the songs we picked. I mean, three of those bands are still performing, but no big deal. Again, it is called That's My Jam. We will link you to our playlist at Kevin N. Bean on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. Go get it. There are a bunch of birthdays, but who cares? I want to talk to Ray Romano and Jimmy Eat World.
Jimmy Eat World coming in a minute with some live music.
Nice.
Love that. Love when they start moving the musical instruments in and the microphones and drums and everything else. I like the setup. I live for it. Makes me excited.
More than the actual music?
I do.
I mean, last segment you said, I like live music.
I do.
Now you're like, I love when they bring in stools.
Because it gets me excited for live music.
You know what,
why can't I be excited?
I'm into sound checks.
How dare you?
You know what I love when someone's like, hey, do you need this?
I like it when they're like, a little too much feedback and you bring down my levels.
Check two.
Oh, man, that's my favorite thing.
That's Jimmy Eat World coming up in a minute. But first,
I love when they open the guitar case.
Ray Romano, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, sir?
Hey, man. How come no one's mocking my voice? I guess Bean's not in.
I mean, you know, so
I mean,
several
still time,
of us do.
Ray. Yeah, we just started.
Would you like someone to?
No, but every time I call in, there's usually some jab from Bean as he introduces me.
Oh, yeah, it's always a backhanded compliment is how he works.
But I know he does it. He does it with love. How are you guys?
We are good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good. I'm in my underwear in my closet. And today's my 32nd anniversary, wedding anniversary, right now, today.
Well, happy anniversary, Ray.
Let me just ask you a qualifying question. Are you right now terrified because you need to find something for your 32nd anniversary?
No, because I have a great assistant.
Ah.
You know, my wife always gets on my case that you didn't pick out this card. And I go, yes, I did, because my assistant brought me five cards, and I picked one out of them. So I did pick out the card. But she's listening. My wife might be listening right now, but I have something for her.
Good.
And plus, she gets money a lot. She gets a lot of money.
I mean, there's that.
Would your wife listening be concerned that you started this by saying, I'm in the closet in my underwear?
No.
Oh, that's normal? Okay, cool.
That's like 20 hours a day for Ray.
Okay. I didn't know.
Ray, at least I'm in my underwear.
Is there a certain gift you have to get someone in a 30-second, like, wedding anniversary? Because I'm about to hit my first year wedding anniversary in, like, a week or two, and it's paper. I'm supposed to get her something that involves paper.
Yeah, I don't know what the number is.
That's a card.
But we had to go to Sicily. We went to Sicily this year. You know, after a while, I don't like to travel, but after 32 years, you can't say no as much, you know?
Right, sure.
Here's an example of what 32 years being married is. We were in Sicily. We were with a lot of people. There was 13 of us, right? Well, my family, her family. And we rented a boat, you know, our own little thing, whatever, 30-footer. And the guy took us, you know, around the island. And on the way back, everybody's tired, and it's two decks. And we're on the top deck, my wife and I, sitting there in the sun. The sun's still out, and it's going down. And everybody's on the bottom deck, and they're kind of asleep or whatever, laid out. And I look at my wife, and I go, you know, we could have sex right here on the top deck. And
Kevin's setting the mood.
What are you doing?
He's
helping you with some music.
Yeah. No, but that's what I... Here's how it went.
Okay.
I went, we could have sex on this top deck, and nobody below would know. I go, that would be exciting. And she goes, for who?
Yeah. I mean, for one of you.
Yeah, exactly.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
We're going to get to your charity in 1 second, because it's a very important charity, and I know it is. It's very important to you. The TV show that Ray is on is Get Shorty. It airs Sunday at 10 on Epix.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care as much about that one as a new one coming out on HBO called Made for Love.
Yeah, I couldn't wait. It's based on a book, but I need Ray to explain to people what it is, because I was reading the synopsis and I was like, this is bonkers.
Oh, wow. Well, really quick, it's I play, my daughter is she's the lead on the show, Kristen Moliati, and she's married to this high-tech billionaire, and she's trying to escape from his factory pod, which is in the desert, and he's invented this chip that couples can put in their head so they can see and hear everything the other couple's doing. You know, it's supposed to be a positive thing.
Ooh.
And he's planted one in her head without her knowing, and she's trying to escape from him. And she comes, so he sees and hears everything she does, and she comes to find me. I'm her father. I haven't seen her in 10 years. I live in the desert. And she walks in on me, and I'm having sex with a woman on the floor. And she stops, goes out, and then she comes back. And she knocks again, and so I get up, and she realizes it's not a woman; it's a lifelike sex doll. Oh, I'm having a relationship. Yeah.
So it's pretty much the same storyline as Everybody Loves Raymond.
Yes.
Very similar.
I'm having a relationship with, and now my question is: can you disappoint a doll? That's what I want to know.
Isn't the face pretty much the same? And it's
always happy.
What?
He's saying, isn't it always happy?
It's always
smiling.
Happy.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. Yeah. But
tell me about filming
cool.
that. It's, tell me know, about like filming this, that.
It's a pretty cool... We didn't start filming yet.
Oh,
but,
okay, you have to do it. All right.
Yeah.
Are you practicing?
Up. Kevin would like to go to that
I'd like to be there on that day.
Well, you know, at the
do
end
it,
of
Ray,
a, when
do
you
it.
Rap, you always get to take something home from the set. So I think I put my request in.
I think we figured out your anniversary gift.
Oh. All right, listen, I want to say that David Spade told a very funny story about him and you at a charity event. And he said, charity events are very difficult to do comedy at because no one's really paying attention. And David Spade bombed. And as he walked off stage, he said, good luck, Ray. It's a tough room. Mm. And then you went out and killed.
Well, I don't know if I killed, but
that's
I remember
what he
that
said.
Gig. That was the Andre Agassi charity in Vegas, yeah. But
it's
that was
a tough crowd.
But that's comedy, man. You know, you go up, the energy's different. And it's happened to me many times. It's happened to me where I've bombed and the next guy's done well, and then you go home and you figure out what the hell you're doing with your life.
Tell us about the charity.
Well, this is the Peter Boyle Research Fund Foundation. You know, Peter passed away from myeloma. It's like 13 years ago. And this is every year we've been doing this. So it's a stand-up show to raise money for this. The Beverly Hilton this year.
Oh, change.
And we got a good lineup. Adam Carolla, Dimitri Martin, who is not my son, by the way. Kevin Nealon, Patton Oswalt, Carolyn Ray, Amanda Seals.
Wow.
Thursday night, October 17th.
So that's a week from yesterday. This coming Thursday, right?
A week from yesterday. Plenty of tickets still. Yeah.
The tickets are a little expensive because it's a charity and you're trying to raise money.
Yeah.
But you can get $150 off the ticket by using the code LAFTER.
There
so
you go.
So you can literally take money out of Ray's charity's hands, which I think is cool.
I don't think that's the way you want to sell it.
Well, every time you use the code, the disease gets stronger.
I don't think that's what you want to say, no.
And I'll have 5 more minutes on sex dolls. So.
Excellent.
If you promise that, I'm coming to the show.
What's that?
Just let it go, Ray. Keep it moving.
But yeah, it's cool, man. I mean, it's a fun time and for a good cause. And they're getting close, man. They're getting close with this research. I mean, pretty soon we won't have to do this charity. So
I always wonder that because it seems like it's just a constant thing to raise money for this cancer and that cancer. And you really wonder, like, are they making progress?
Well, you know, all the guys there, the research guys are there, and these guys are great, and they are. They really are. They're making – will they ever cure it totally? I don't know, but people are living with it more and longer, so they're doing good stuff, man.
Yeah, I mean, they never get too much money at a research center. I'm fine giving them as much as they can get.
Yeah. So 1 year marriage coming up, huh?
Yeah, in like a week or two, yeah.
And no kids yet for you?
No, we have a kid at 3 months old, man. 3 months.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yes. Right, you're exhausted.
Yes.
Right?
Basically, my life is ruined. Yes.
You know, I've been married. You know, I figured it out. I've been married. This is a little sad, but 3.5 dogs. That's how long we've been married.
Oh, my God.
I would suggest
sad, but
that is long.
I would say don't share that fact.
By the way, I didn't make up the lifespan. That's a horrible thing. I know.
I'm just saying it's not a romantic thing to say, perhaps, on this
it's
day.
It's important, though. It's a lot. But where's the half dog?
How about we're more flavors than Baskin-Robbins?
I like it.
That?
Much better, yeah.
I like it. At least that's all positive. So I love that. You don't have dogs dying in that particular example.
Yeah.
All right. So it is the International Myeloma Foundation's 13th annual comedy celebration. It is this coming Thursday at the Beverly Hilton. And to get tickets, you go to comedy.myeloma.org. And myeloma is spelled M-Y-E-L-O-M-A.
That's right.
Comedy.myeloma.org. And you can buy tickets for this fantastic comedy
show.
And
use the code. Yeah. Get money off. Use laughter. Check out.
And check it out.
Appreciate it, guys. I appreciate it. Say hi to Bean. Bean's almost done, right?
He is. Oh, he's done. I mean, he's got the worst senioritis of anyone
physically,
I've ever seen.
He's with us.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he's already checked out mentally. So.
What is senioritis? What do you mean? He's just forgetting.
I mean, once you know that you're a senior, you don't care about high school
anymore.
Ditching
class. Don't care about grades.
Right. You don't care about anything in high school anymore because you're moving on.
Yeah. Oh, Ray just went old. He's like, what? He's forgetting stuff?
Well, that's what I put on my anniversary card to my wife. I said, every day with you is like the first. I go, but that's because I might have Alzheimer's.
Wow.
Such a romantic.
You are a romantic
three
bastard.
3.5 dogs, baby.
3.5 dogs. Yeah.
Ray, thank you. We appreciate the time. We're always happy to have
guys.
You. That is brand new music called Love Never from Jimmy Eat World.
Oh,
whatever happened
great.
To those guys?
No idea.
Right? They sort of just disappeared. Oh, hey, guys.
Oh, hi.
How are you?
You're doing great.
Here. Jimmy Eat World is here. Tell us about that song.
The song's called Love Never on our surprisingly 10th album as a band.
Wow. Is that surprising?
Yeah.
Like you never just pictured?
No. I mean, when we started, I think the loftiest goal we had was maybe one day we'll put out a song like on a 7-inch.
Oh, you didn't
maybe.
Even think first album. You just thought not even album, just
no.
a song. Okay.
In
yeah,
a way,
like, what prick thinks like, oh, 10 albums, we'll do that.
25 years from now, I'm going to be so big. I just know
I
it.
I guess we wouldn't like you if you gave that answer.
No,
that's true.
Egotistical.
No, in a way, that's kind of helped us be a band this long, as I think we've always set realistic goals for ourselves, you know, like in that kind of meet those, and that gives us momentum to try something different and new. Yeah. And, you know, that keeps things fun. And then, you know, after a while, it's been 25 years as a band.
Well, along those lines, then how do you keep it fresh? And how do you, when you're coming up with a new song, you're like, oh, wait, that sounds like seven albums ago.
Yeah. You know, I think it's all about when you start out, you just go. You know, you don't understand it. You just feel something. You just do it.
Mm-hmm.
But as time goes on, like, you kind of discover your own, you discover a voice, mm-hmm. like an identity. And I think what's been important for us is, like, as soon as you discover that forming, you have to immediately challenge it a little bit. I think when you're pushing your self-perception a little bit, I think you're on the right track. Like, I know when we're on the right track, when I'm laughing at myself a little bit, like, I don't know if we can do this, guys. Like, then I know, okay, cool, we're getting somewhere.
And you have to push into that mindset pretty much with every song?
A little bit. Yeah, I think the worst thing that can happen isn't necessarily coming up with something you don't like. It's coming up with something that you think, okay, that's exactly what we do. That's it, guys. That's exactly us. Like, then what do
then
you do?
Then you go, no, I'm not going to do
what
that.
What are you doing then? Yeah. Like, right. Okay, like, why, at this point in our career, it's like, why do more?
Kevin and Bean have been saying that, yeah, right? 20, 30 years.
Why do more?
No, yeah. I mean, there has to be a reason for it. There has to be something that you're gaining from it. There has to be something rewarding, something.
And what is it on this new record that you think you guys pushed on? It seems more self-reflexive, at least, to me.
A little bit, yeah. I think this is our most rocking album so far.
Glad to hear that.
It really feels like it's a good representation of us playing as a band. Mm-hmm. It's a lot more guitar driven than I think most of our other albums. There's still, like, some, you know, like, moody stuff and textural things is a big part of what we like to do, so mm-hmm. that's there too. But at our core, we're a guitar rock band, I feel. And I think Surviving definitely showcases that.
Oh, I just wish there were more of you. We need more rock bands.
We're trying, man.
I love that you're back.
We're holding up our end.
The new album is Surviving. It comes out next Friday, a week from today, mm-hmm. October 18th. It's their 10th studio album. Is the song that we just heard, Love Never, is that what we can expect with the rest of the album?
A lot of it, yeah. Yeah, like I said, there's a couple kind of more moody songs, but most of it's just full on. Just like
what
that.
What was that? Okay.
Does anyone else have any sound effects?
Yeah. What are your thoughts? The sound. Is it more of a?
Do you have any howitzer sound effects you can run?
Oh, there was
just
a whistle.
Okay.
You guys are going to be playing live for us in a second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're going to take a quick break. Jimmy Eat World is here.
Reset
on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to reset. You're going to bring in your equipment, and you're going
to
play a song.
Yes,
what
very
play?
Excited.
Well,
I got made fun of because I said I'm excited for live music. I'm just saying that right
Do
now.
Do we know what they're playing? Do we know what you guys are playing?
We're going to surprise you guys.
Okay.
All right. All fantastic. Right. Live music from Jimmy Eat World coming up next on the World Famous K-Rock. The band Jimmy Eat World is here with guitars and ready to play. What are you guys going to play for us?
We're going to play a song called The Middle for
all
you.
All right. What? We know that song.
Love it.
Yep.
Jimmy Eat World.
Write yourself off, yeah. It's only in your head you feel left out or looked down on. Just try your best, try everything you can, and don't you worry what they tell themselves when you're away. It just takes some time. On your own, so don't buy in.
definitely sounded great. Hold on.
That sounded great.
Thanks.
All Thank right, we're going to do it for real in about 2 minutes.
Okay, we're warmed up, man.
Yeah.
You're ready to go?
Yeah.
You guys heard Jimmy Kimmel last night. How was that? Good?
It was awesome.
Fun, yeah?
Yeah, it was really cool.
And you're going on the road in November and you're touring? And
yeah, we're starting November 2nd in Fort Collins. And, you know, if you want to come see this in a loud fashion, check our website for dates.
There and you guys go. Are, who are you going on tour with for that? Because I'm nervous because last time I feel like there was tweets and there was drama regarding other bands you were on tour with slightly. So I'm making sure this time it's cool people.
Yeah, it's a band called Pronoun.
Okay.
Right in the road with.
Yeah.
No Third Eye Blind. That's fine.
Not this time, no.
All right, good. I'm just trying to save that. It. I'm trying to make it easy for you guys.
I'm guessing.
Oh, thanks. You know, we appreciate it.
Okay, good.
He's very concerned. That's
I'm
all this is about.
No, for
it's
you.
Okay, man.
All right. Good.
Jimmy Eat World, new album next Friday, October 18th. It's called Surviving. The new song is called Love Never. And you guys are always welcome at K Rock. We always appreciate when
thanks.
You come in.
Thanks a lot, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you. We really appreciate it. 106.7 K Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 10 minutes till 9. We're getting a lot of requests for a song called Two Eyeballs.
Yeah!
So we haven't played it in a while, of course, because it's a Halloween song.
Mm-hmm. But Bean's gone, and so when Bean is gone, the Two Eyeballs play. That's how it goes, right?
Yes, exactly.
Sure.
But we forgot the name of the listener who created it.
Uh-huh.
And we were all just sitting here going, yeah, I don't know. And Muggs goes, McCall.
Out of nowhere, out of the corner.
And I was like, nope. And he goes, yeah, it's McCall.
And then I just Googled Two Eyeballs, and it says, Kevin and Bean, listener, McCall Britt.
I'm a genius.
You really are. You retain
steel trap,
amazing
baby.
Amounts of information. Some might say useless.
But in this case, helpful.
Yeah. Very helpful.
So this is a Halloween song that he created when he was 10 years old. Thus, the fantastic musicianship.
Who dares to enter the house of horrors?
On the news.
Forced vocal echo is my favorite.
Two eyeballs?
Two eyeballs!
Yeah. Good guess.
Thank you.
Someone to cover this, man.
That's a great idea.
Like a good band.
It came down.
If only there was one right outside the door.
Only.
So we said, hey, McCall, we'd like to remix that so the vocals could be understood.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Do you have separate tracks? And he said, I was 10!
Right.
No!
He recorded into like a can.
By the way, that's like EQ'd so that you could
yeah,
hear his voice
it.
Really well.
Yeah.
So that's...
But his music, he's like, he gets it.
Agreed.
Like, there's cool
the different
keys
stabs
and
at
stuff.
The end
yeah.
of it and stuff.
Good for him.
Well done, McCall.
A prodigy.
You know who
and
he
well
turned
Muggs.
Into?
Who?
I split my lip!
That's him.
Same I was guy? Whistling at Hell in a Cell!
Right? So maybe he couldn't re-record it, because now nobody understands.
I heard myself in a boss pit at the country club!
All right, on Fridays at this time, we introduce you to Keep It 100. You get to text and pick any song. If it's in our system, we will play it. Here are some of the songs that you have picked in the last weeks.
You can't, you won't, and you don't stop. The Jesus of
All right. So 1-800-520-1067. Text that and add your name. I know it's an awkward thing to do on text because you never do that. But we
unless
don't...
you're like my mom.
Exactly. Unless you're Jensen's mom. But you can pick any song as long as it's in our library and you're caller 100. We will play that song coming up.
Yeah.
Allie is here. What's happening?
Does your mom sign off Haroldine and text
mom,
you?
Mom.
Mom. Okay. Yeah. Oh, that's
she did
sweet.
It for a while. I think she stopped recently.
But, okay. Mm-hmm. That's adorable. Well, you know, my parents, I made the mistake of saying that they'll just send an email. Nothing in the body of the email, just one word. Napping.
Mm-hmm.
And then an hour and a half later, it'll just say, nap over.
Yeah.
They just, they want to, it's not, I don't think they're boning during that
I
time.
I think we all decided that was the case.
You guys decided. And now even when I say I'm going to take a nap, I get sad because
right.
I literally am taking a nap and it hurts and it makes me just feel alone.
Oh, that's sad.
But yeah.
Hollywood treasure Jerry O'Connell, he will text every time. And we've been texting for maybe 8 to 10 years off and on, just checking in with each other. He'll always write, "Hey, Jensen, it's Jerry O." Every time to start the time. And I'm like, yeah, your number's
you're
in my phone.
In my phone.
Also, all our texts are in there. Like, even if I didn't know,
you can see the last text that you...
Wait, you said, "Hey, Jensen, it's Jerry O." Every time.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it, you guys. We talked about this earlier, but I mean, I'm kind of all in for Will Smith reportedly working on a Fresh Prince of Bel-Air spinoff series. I don't hate it, you guys. The Hollywood Reporter did an in-depth article.
It's called It's Carlton.
Yes.
A Carlton reboot's not a bad idea. We just had the man in himself.
And not...
He was not into it.
Thrilled about
he
anything, Carlton?
Yeah. It seemed like he was visually like pretty scarred from it.
Alfonso Ribeiro said anytime he leaves the house, people demand of him the Carlton dance.
And we said, you're exactly... No, I'm not exactly.
No, he said literally the worst thing in my life.
The house. All right, let's leave Carlton.
I wonder if he hides
in West Philadelphia
when he hears the song.
He's on the playground. That's where I spend most of my days. Just sit right there. I'll tell you how many crins of a town called Bel-Air.
Hey, yo, home. Smell you later.
I mean, we've already got the new theme.
That's the new theme.
That is that is amazing.
Already worked that out.
But the Hollywood Reporter did the article about how he's just all about expanding his global brand. They said the three takeaways: Will Smith is very good at social media, which we all know because if you look at his Instagram, it's like they paid a film studio to record and edit the stuff.
I am nothing without my following.
It's odd to me too, though, because he already has a profile in the world. In the world.
Yeah, definitely. Second takeaway, Will Smith has a lot of money.
Sure.
Third takeaway, about the Fresh Prince Bel-Air spinoff series. So, I mean, it ran for 6 seasons, 148 episodes. However, when people used to ask him about it, like, hey, would you ever do something like Fresh Prince again? He would say, quote, when hell freezes over. So something changed.
So they all agree on that.
Yeah.
But, but I also feel like nostalgia is such a big thing. More so, I think, in the last 5 years than ever.
But he's not talking about being in it, is he?
We don't know.
I doubt
don't know. Don't know.
I mean, this guy does YouTube videos. He does, like, unwrapping box videos. Yeah, I mean, like, he's gonna be in it somehow.
Also, why not? Also in this article, that movie Bright, remember, it was the big Netflix one, and Will Smith was kind of the first big name tied to a Netflix movie.
Yep.
People were like, what is Will Smith doing? He doesn't need to do this.
Like he may be slumming it a bit when he went to Netflix, right?
At that time, people were wondering what it was all about. Sources say that Will Smith pulled down a $27 million upfront salary. That would be double what Warner Brothers would have paid him for that.
Wow.
So I feel like he's doing all the right things.
And there's a Bright 2.
It's called Brighter.
Nope. I think it's just called Brighter.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But he needs to make a global brand, is what he's saying.
I mean, sure, man. How about resting?
I feel like he's never met himself. Like, he has no idea that he is Will Smith and he is a global brand.
How about taking a nap?
Right?
Or like,
just wear you out just to see his videos?
Just get a hobby.
Yeah.
Something outside.
You guys looking for a slightly...
Is that take a nap?
No.
Take a nap.
Okay. Slightlier, healthier dessert option?
Nope.
Nah, not really.
Well, for those of you that are...
Still have a story.
Pumpkin pie hummus is a thing that now exists. Costco is selling Delighted by Dessert Pumpkin Pie Spread.
Nope. Uh-uh.
What's the perfect dipper, you might ask yourself? Like, you don't want to do a chip, right, into that? No.
I don't want to do anything into that.
Graham crackers, fruit, or perfect just eating alone. Who is sitting, like, on a recliner with a spoon just eating dessert pumpkin pie hummus? Because I'd like to come over and talk to you.
Really, no one.
Not things a friend of mine, no. Nope.
Things are happening in your life that maybe we need to talk about. You on your recliner.
Disgusting.
Disgusting. All right, guys. Some birthdays. We've got Emily Deschanel, Jane Krakowski, Joan Cusack, Matt Bomer, Cardi B, and wrestler Rikishi. And that-
it's Friday, and it's time for Keep It 100.
I got to keep it 100.
Keep it 100, baby.
Keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
Let's be real here. No, we need to face this head on.
First, let's discuss what was number 99, Kevin, before you get so mad.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
You could have heard The Taste of Ink by The Used. That's from Rudy in Lakewood.
Fine. Would have been a fine pick.
Would
fine.
Have been a great pick.
Mm-hmm.
Or caller 101, The Dope Show,
Marilyn Manson. Which honestly I wanted to hear. But,
that guy was 100.
We have to stick to the rules.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
The thing.
I mean, we made the rules.
Which is why this song coming up that he's going to talk about in a minute from Michael. I mean, let's talk to Michael in just a minute.
Hey, Michael.
Hello.
Michael.
I don't like you.
How are you doing?
I'm not a
fan
of you.
What are your big plans this weekend?
I'm heading up north for a wedding this weekend.
Oh, that's nice.
Are you single, Michael?
No, I'm not.
Oh.
I'm leaving.
He doesn't need a date?
Sorry. No, I was going to say, a lot of people get lucky at weddings. So I was saying it's going to be a good weekend. But if you're happily taken, you probably shouldn't be.
You'll still get lucky.
Still get lucky.
Why did you pick today's song?
I've been texting this song for over a year because I love this song. It just brings up old memories of K-Rock and great music. And it's a great weekend pump-up song.
Oh, I absolutely agree.
Even before you heard that Kevin hates any song that involves numbers and counting, you were still putting the song in.
See, that's what Dave said, but this isn't the song with counting, so Kevin gets off on this one. It's okay.
Kevin, you're going to get off on this
one. Wow, I didn't realize it was going to be that good.
I don't know what's happening.
Fantastic.
Well, why don't you introduce it?
All right. I requested Add It Up by The Violent Femmes.
Day after day, I will walk and I will play, but the day after today, I will stop and I will start. Some things I wouldn't miss. If I look at your pants and I need a kiss. Why can't I get just one? Why can't I get just one? Believe me, I know what to do, but something won't let me make love to you. Life for just one day. My, mama, 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 mom. Have you kept your eye on your son? I know you've had problems, you're not the only one. When your sugar left you on the run. So, mama, 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 mom. Take a look now, look what your boy has done. He's walking around like he's number one. So he went downtown and he got all my guns. Don't shoot, shoot, shoot that thing at me. Don't shoot, shoot, shoot that thing at me. You know you got my sympathy, but don't shoot, shoot, shoot that thing at me. Don't shoot, shoot, shoot that thing at me. Don't shoot, shoot, shoot that thing at me. You know you got my sympathy, but don't shoot, shoot, shoot that. Your affairs, share a smoke, make a joke, grasp and reach for a leg of hope. Words to memorize, words hypnotize, words make my mouth exercise. Words all fail the magic prize. Nothing I can say when I'm in your thighs. Come on, my mother. I would love to love you, lover. City's restless, it's ready to pounce. But in your bedroom, ounce for ounce, and oh my mother. I would love to love you, lover. City's restless, it's ready to pounce. But in your bedroom, ounce for ounce. I've given you a decision to make. Things to lose, things to take. Just as about ready to cut it up. Yeah, wait a minute, honey, I'm gonna add it up.
All right, I'm so happy that was the song. I panicked.
You right. thought it was Kiss Off.
Yes.
Yeah.
But still, there was a number in that, but it seemed more math-based.
There's no canting.
Yeah.
The counting is the stuff I hate.
Yeah. Seemed more math-based.
And as soon as he said Femmes, I was like, oh, no, no. I love the band, but mm-hmm. I don't like songs with counting in them. They drive me crazy.
At least the edit was good.
Man, what'd they do? Scratch another record on top of it?
All right, Allie.
Yeah.
As we do.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us when that song came out.
That is the Violent Femmes mm-hmm. Added Up, which was the early 80s.
Okay.
So it could be anywhere from 82 to 84.
Okay, your answer is?
1982. 83.
Your answer is?
1982. 82.
1983.
Oh! All right. It's fine. It's cool.
Close enough? No?
I don't want to add it up.
All right. We'll keep it 100 one more time. It's a shame there's no way to recap things that happened during the week.
Yeah, people miss a ton of stuff.
It is weird that we do so many things and then no one knows what happens at the end.
I know I barely listen.
We've come to another close of the week, my friend. So let me break it down for you as it officially ends. First, the Dodgers lost it when push came to shove. We could only blame one person for that.
Mama Muggs.
Omar saw a man get right off at a can, walk straight by a sink and touch him with his bare hands. Alfonso Rivera and Boreana stopped by. And Molly ate so much pumpkin pie, she could die. And we heard a song played by Jimmy Eat World. Chris Jericho knows a lot about the Golden Girls. Andrea said hi. Ray Romano called in. People live in houses with a bunch of murder kids. And Bean announces last day is in 1 month. And he doesn't want a party, which left us all stunned. But there's nothing he can do if we kidnap his ass. If you missed that, download the podcast.
There it is.
Wow.
It's a lot of stuff.
Lot
you can
stuff.
Get the podcast at krock.com. Mm-hmm. And listen to any day this week. There is always a lot going on.
There really was.
Monday morning, by the way, speaking of a lot going on, we're going to make an announcement at 7:20, 7:15. What are we saying? 7:15. Let's say
7 o'clock hour.
Because we know it's not going to be 7:15. No. So yeah. We're going to say 7:15.
People get mad.
It's in the 7 o'clock hour. Yeah, it's good enough.
For Kevin and Bean's last breakfast.
Whoa. Whoa.
With.
Who is it?
We're going to tell you on Monday.
What does it sound like?
And Schmal Schmitty.
Oh, my God. The final ones with Al Finney. I'm so excited.
Sounds like Smarvy Manger.
Smarvy Manger would be good. Schmappa Moach.
Oh, good.
Okay. Here's the thing. It's the final breakfast with Kevin and Bean. You know it's not going to be just like a normal band. This is going to be a blowout. This is going to be someone you're excited to see like tune in.
Like it rhymes with Schmied.
You already did a breakfast with Creed, Kevin, so no, that's not bad. That funny of a joke.
Oh, man.
When you remember, and you did it for one person, correct?
Yeah.
The breakfast with Creed, and it was
and
for
Steve.
One listener.
Steve.
Oh.
I mean, I think we were a little worse.
You guys are rotten.
To be honest. Time for one more What's Happening. Here's Allie.
Oh, you guys. Have either of you ever gone to Oktoberfest in Germany?
No. Not in Germany, but no. I'd love to.
Wait, you went to like Knott's Berry Farm?
No, there was it was
went
even
to one in Reseda.
Oh, you guys
ass.
Would laugh. Okay. We were the parade
the Grand Marshals.
Yes, uh-huh. The Grand Marshals of a parade in a city I don't even remember the name of, and the route was about a half a mile, so we just drove around in a circle, and there were like 10 people here and 12 there,
just scattered.
Yes,
yeah.
And then we'd drive past them again, the same people, like no one else, and we'd wave.
Would they cheer every time?
No,
like it was a new group.
No, it was just like wow. They didn't even cheer the first time.
Yeah. This is sad.
They were like Mark and Brian, Mark and Brian. Wait, I don't understand. Did you guys used to say yes to most of those things?
Earlier in our career,
you got to get out there.
Sure.
Yeah,
but that may have been a mistake in retrospect. But I would love to go to Germany. Yes.
Yeah, for sure. Well, it ended. It's September 21st through October 6th this year. But this year saw a lot of folks trying to take those beer steins as souvenirs. The German festival reports that it had more than 6 million people visiting over that 16-day event.
Wow.
How many beer steins do you think were nearly stolen? Because they
what does
catch,
that mean nearly? Oh,
they catch the people in as they're trying to leave with them, essentially. And
out of
like,
6 million
yeah,
people?
Yeah.
I mean, I can't imagine more than 10,000 steins being almost
stolen. That's a hell of a lot.
It is.
10,000, yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot.
I'm going to say 5,000.
Okay. 96,912.
Buy your own glasses.
Which is
that's
a
awesome.
Decrease from last
what?
Year, which was 101,000 people attempted to steal those mugs.
Okay.
And how many of it is stealing or you're just wasted? You've got the mug in your
away.
Hand
maybe.
And you're just trying
maybe.
To leave that
you think
that
it's your
tent.
Cane or whatever.
Yeah.
Question. I would guess stealing, though.
Would you?
Yeah, because you're in Germany. You're at Oktoberfest. Of course. It's,
I have a big question.
Reminds you of your trip. Yes.
Is it the boot? Do you know what I'm talking about? The boot glass?
Like the sign that looks like a boot?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Das boot. Thank you.
No, it's just a beer sign.
Because I would steal the boot.
Okay.
Okay, well, that's a different topic.
Yeah.
But I've always wanted one of those, and they have them at Oktoberfest.
Oh, I have those numbers.
Oh,
nobody tried to steal the boot because it's bull S.
No, the boot is great.
Her report says bull S.
Yeah, it does. Okay.
So
it
we have
does.
To go with that.
All right.
Yes. Jensen, mm-hmm. you and Danielle had a little chat before you guys had Adler about how you're going to do the whole social media thing with him.
Yes, yeah.
And you guys decided, at least for now, we don't want our kids' face out
face,
there.
No face, yeah.
Okay.
Just on social media, stay away from the trolls.
Well, parents obviously worrying what their kids are doing on social media, but kids are equally worried what their parents are posting.
Mm-hmm.
A survey recently found that 42% of teens said that they had a problem with what their parents posted about them on social media. And a lot of them say it's a big problem.
Yeah. Really?
Nearly half of the teen survey said that they've talked to their parents. They've reached out and said, please stop that. Don't put me on your social media. They talked to people in 25 different countries. This isn't just Americans that are like, look at my kid and everything he's eating. These are people all over the world. You're sharing too much about
reporting me, bro.
Right?
About your kids, you're revealing too much. Mm-hmm. And now they're saying, obviously, you need to be very discreet when you show, not only your kids' full names, their ages, birth dates, anything like that, because those could be passwords, that type of thing.
Yeah.
But what are you doing posting your kids constantly? Stop it. It's creepy as F.
Here's the thing. I think we're in the minority. I think that a lot of people actually love doing that. And there are times, I'm sure, when he's growing up, he's going to wear something funny or do something funny. We're going to want to post it. But like then he's going to become 12 or 13 and look online, and there's going to be a footprint of his entire life. Yeah. And he's going to have no choice over it. And that was the major reason why we were like, just keep him off social media.
Yeah.
I have a private family account that very few people follow, and still I have to get my daughters okay. Like, that's the rule.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna post anything unless you're okay with it.
Yeah.
You know who also has a private account? Colleen Rooney. And look what happened to her. I mean, refer back to a couple days of what's happened.
Get the podcast like three
real
days
good.
Ago.
It's real good.
You miss a lot.
You miss a lot. But yeah, you gotta think about what you're posting about your kids. Plus, there are some creeps out there.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. That should be number one.
Stop pointing at Kevin.
You don't want to post anything that you just don't, is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I have a friend that posts every aspect of her kids' lives. Like, sitting in the car, waiting to go to soccer. Sitting in the car, my girl has a recital.
That's going to be great till she's 13.
Yeah. And also, like, what?
All hell will break loose.
Why does she think people care?
She's also the same type that will do the quotes, the inspirational quotes.
Yeah. What are you doing? Who are your friends?
Yeah, I've known her since high school, but my
well,
God,
stop
it's
being
almost,
friends with her.
I muted her stories.
Okay.
I had to for my own sanity.
Well, if you don't want motivation and inspiration.
She gets that from her water bottle.
I do. Thank you so much for commenting
she has
on that.
Motivational sayings on her water bottle.
Thank you. Well, it's a gallon water jug, and it just says 7 a.m., good morning. 9 a.m., you've got it. 11 a.m., remember your goal. Because when you're trying to drink a lot of water, you're like, this sucks. But then when you're like,
but then you look at it
and
you go,
keep drinking. I'm like, all right. I also put champagne in here. I mean, it just said keep drinking.
Okay.
And then the next one, no excuses.
All right.
All right.
So we'll keep drinking.
How am I going to say no to my water jug? Oh, that seems too big. Okay. All right. This is no good. When you're a band, alive or dead, and a political party is using your songs, and you don't agree with that political party.
This happens a lot.
I mean, it happens every
year.
Cycle.
Yeah,
it really
year.
Does. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Prince's estate has called out Donald Trump for playing Purple Rain again at a Minneapolis campaign rally. The late singer's estate issued a statement last night requesting that the Trump campaign stop playing it. At every campaign rally, the statement read, President Trump played Prince's Purple Rain tonight at a campaign event in Minneapolis, despite confirming a year ago that the campaign would not use Prince's music.
Yeah.
The Prince estate will never give permission to President Trump to use Prince's songs. But after that, like, how much can you do? After you're like, cease and desist, don't do it.
Not much.
I mean, I don't know that. If it's already behind them, I don't know if they could sue or not.
But it does seem like every time they send that cease and desist, it works.
Does it?
Yeah.
Well, it hasn't this time.
It hasn't this time. I know. But I'm saying, like, in the past when people have been like, please don't do that, they don't do it anymore. But I do always wonder, can they sue or can they whatever?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know, you guys. Hey, here's a movie I'm not going to see. A movie about Kim Kardashian being robbed in Paris during Fashion Week in 2016.
What?
Yeah. A film is being made.
A movie?
It's going to...
I feel like we don't know a lot about that. I don't know all the... Like, what happened? Like, I just know that she got robbed for a bunch of jewelry and that's the end of it.
But she wasn't in the room, if I recall correctly. Right?
Oh, I thought she was.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, maybe we do need
see,
a movie.
See, we need the movie.
No, I don't. I don't care. I didn't care then. I don't care now. But you guys can see it. Tell me how it is. Okay. I hope it's 2 hours and then Jensen just loses it.
Who plays Kim Kardashian in it?
Probably Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, most likely.
Yeah.
Wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah. You guys, I just want to bring this up because it's Friday.
Friday.
Work, it's Friday. It's a hard time, you guys, at your job. This study says 4 in 10 adults say they're at close to a breaking point at work. New research polling 2,000 professionals found the average working adult feels stressed for almost a third of their entire workday.
Oh.
5 hours of sleep will be lost every week because you're stressed out about your job. Here's the part that I like.
Let alone the people worrying that they're going to drive off a bridge.
Yeah, oh, yeah. That's a whole other anxiety.
Or like right into a car wash or whatever.
We talked about this morning.
On average, employees complain about their boss for 31 minutes. and they complain about their job in general for 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Oh, a week.
I feel like
a week or a day. A week.
A week.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. A day's a problem. Okay.
Yeah. But even almost 3 hours, you're complaining about your job. Maybe you get a new
job.
Get
a new gig. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just I guess saying. Everyone hates their job.
Like mine. Like.
I mean, you...
2.5 hours. I do a week, mm-hmm. but 2:45. That seems like a lot.
You'd have to stretch a little.
Yeah. Just saying. 4 in 10 are close to a breaking point at work. Life is fun, you guys, is what I'm saying, basically.
Right. That's the point of that story.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it?
What are you guys going to do this weekend? Anything fun?
I'm resting. I have to catch up on my rest.
You know you can't actually do that.
No, I have to.
You know it's not possible.
I have to figure out a way. Even with a three-month-old, you know what killed me?
Yeah.
Not the three-month-old, because Danielle really jumps on the bomb. My thing is, I stayed up for that dumb Dodger game.
Okay.
That's what killed me.
And it ruined you.
It completely ruined me.
I mean, it would have also helped had they, you know.
Won.
Won.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It would have helped.
It was better. Crazy depressing. Allie, you doing something?
I was thinking about seeing Dolomite Is My Name. I was supposed to go Monday. Didn't work out. Whole other story. But I now have three friends that have seen Dolomite Is My Name at the theater. Mm-hmm. Every single one has said, before it's released on Netflix, see it in a theater, because it's one of those movies where there's uproarious laughter. And you know how that's contagious in a theater setting.
I love going first weekend because of that.
Yeah.
I like the positive energy.
One of my friends said he has never heard people laugh at a movie like this movie in like a decade. It's like, it is just a change. And another friend said, of course, this is the Dolomite Is My Name. You've got basically everyone in this movie. You've got Eddie Murphy, Craig Robinson, Mike Epps, Keegan-Michael Key. But
Snoop Dogg, too.
My friend said the one that steals the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, Eddie Murphy.
He's
like,
no. I don't think so.
Wesley Snipes steals it.
I love Wesley Snipes.
Oh, I gotta see this movie.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you have this weekend.
I have this weekend, and it's playing at certain theaters before it comes out on Netflix.
Nobody asked, but I'm just going to jump right in. I'm going to say that...
No one cares, man.
I'm interviewing Tyler Toffoli.
Oh.
Oh.
And...
Yeah.
King's Home Opener is tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
And it's an afternoon game.
Thank you, everybody. Uh-huh. 3 p.m.
No.
Yeah, I got... What time?
3.
3 p.m.
3. 4? 3.
What time?
I don't know for sure.
O-M-G.
No, it's 3 p.m. Very excited.
I can't. Tyler Toffoli, right?
Yep. Very cool.
Excellent. I love it.
Thanks for asking, you guys. I
know
where
it is. Really good. Some birthdays for
Felt
you.
Good.
Cardi B, no Rikishi, Matt Bomer, Emily Deschanel, Jane Krakowski, and Joan Cusack. And that's what's happening.
Thank you, LA, and your drive home today. Listen to Stryker and Klein's commercial free-for-all, a random act of helpfulness with the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. We will see you Monday morning with Kevin and Bean's Last Breakfast announcement.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Bonk, bonk.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Under no circumstance.
Roll another one. Just like the other one.
I hate that person. I hate him.
This one seems to be about...
I'm an escort, you guys. I'm a hooker.
And I need another
hit. Hey, you know I think about the other day, Pope? Dinosaurs. Crazy, right?
Buster, if that's not proof of alien life, I don't know what the hell is.
Roll another one.
Oh, hello.
Just like this one seems to be about
spend. And America said,
and I don't have another cent.
Alexa, add spoon knife to my shopping list.
Is it butt stuff?
Just pass it around.
Sally, are you high right now or something?
And the phone guard that joined my friend.
I don't even think he's a doctor.
Just pass it.
That was a rush.
I wetted my pants a little bit, but it was worth it.
And why are all of you still here? Why are you here? You're all incompetent. I keep telling you that, and you keep coming back. Well, don't. Get out!
Now?
No. Get out!
Yeah. Go.
Go! Get out!
I stand behind my decision. This press conference is over. I can't see you now. I can't hear you now. You're not here now. La, 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 la.